This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program. This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Welcome to another edition of Global Warming Corner with Dave Mitchell, brought to you by 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We have with us today Father Bob Hagen, a Jesuit priest working at the Guardian Angels Catholic Church on Westport Road here in Kansas City. Our conversation today will focus on Pope Francis's encyclical letter, Laudato Si, on care of our common home, issued by the Vatican in June 2015. Father Hagen, thank you very much for being on this episode of Radioactive Magazine.
Happy to be here.
Okay. I feel that the Pope's encyclical is an extremely significant event in human history. The Pope, as a world religious leader, is calling on all the world's citizens to awaken to the climate crisis. He states, and I quote, "He wants citizens to become painfully aware, to dare to turn what is happening to the world into our own personal suffering, and thus to discover what each of us can do about it." He goes on to say, quote, "This sister, Mother Earth, now cries out to us because of the harm we have inflicted on her by our irresponsible use and abuse of the goods with which God has endowed her." Can we sort of use those two quotes as kind of a launching pad for the Pope's intent in writing the encyclical?
Yes. Certainly it is a significant papal document. It's the very first document ever issued by a Pope that addresses the whole issue of the environment and climate change and global warming. It is a very important document. It's the first document addressed to all the people living on planet Earth. There have been other documents addressed to all people of goodwill, but this has a global audience, literally.
And my understanding is, I think what to me makes it most greatly significant is that he really is trying to call people to awaken to the fact that humanity does face a crisis.
Yes. Certainly he makes a big point that climate change, global warming, degradation of our air and water and soil are real problems that exist and that are huge and that we need to address in a very urgent way. And that's one of the marks of the whole letter is urgency, the urgency with which all human beings need to address this issue today or this set of issues.
Okay. You know, he does call on, he does use as his fundamental motivation one of the primary points is the reliance on St. Francis of Assisi and and St. Francis of Assisi's connection with nature.
Yes. Certainly the head of the Greek Orthodox Church, Patriarch Bartholomew, has issued several documents on the environment, and other popes have talked about the environment before. But here we have Francis, who has taken the name of Francis after St. Francis of Assisi, the very first pope to take the name of Francis, and that has to be significant. And he has given the document the name Laudato Si, which is the very first two words, the very first phrase of a great poem by Francis of Assisi that we know in English as the Canticle of the Sun. And it's a great hymn of praise to God for all of the gifts of creation, all of the gifts of nature. And Francis is certainly someone who lived very close to nature, and he also showed great love and respect for all creatures, not just other human beings.
Okay, you know, one thing that the Pope takes a certain amount of care around making a point of is that that he tries to he makes the point that it is a mistaken notion that Christianity says that man has been given dominion over the earth. He points that out to be a mistaken interpretation.
Yes, based on a very literal interpretation of the beginning of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, many Christians, including Catholic Christians down through the ages, have taken the attitude that human beings have this sort of absolute dominion over all the rest of creation, and that they can do with the goods of the earth whatever they want. And we can see where that has led. And Pope Francis finds that an incomplete reading of the whole Bible, and certainly a very sort of wrong path to go down in this day and age when we're confronted with such a huge global crisis because of environmental degradation. And so he's calling for a new kind of attitude, which is very much like the attitude of St. Francis, one of real love of and respect for all creatures, all the goods of the earth, and an attitude of responsible stewardship with regard to our own human activities and use of the goods of the earth as we go through life, and thinking also about future generations. So that sort of dominion theology and spirituality he's relegating to the past, and he's calling for a new approach on the part of Christians and other people who look to the Bible as a source for direction in life.
Yes, that's very strong. That's a very strong point that he makes in his encyclical, and sort of a related theme to that is he continually talks about the interdependence of things.
Yes, and that's right. He has this principle that everything, all people, all things, are connected, and he keeps returning to that throughout this document, throughout the letter. Not only in terms of looking at the problems that human beings and the earth face today, but also looking at the solutions. Everybody has to be a part of the solution because of the far reach of this whole set of problems and issues.
Well, yeah, the problem is vast, and I think there is this one quote that I lifted that could relate to that. All of us can cooperate as instruments of God for the care of creation, each according to his or own culture, experience, involvements, and talents.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I think... So he really is calling on everyone to come to awareness and to contribute to the global common good.
That's really right. And he sees this whole set of problems as needing to be addressed in different ways and at different levels. He's issuing this letter, especially with an eye to the coming Paris climate talks that will begin in Paris on November 30th at the end of this month. And they're very, very important international talks on addressing climate change, global warming. And so he's quite concerned there. But he doesn't just see the solution as political or on the international level. He doesn't see it as merely technological, although he sees the need for new approaches in terms of technology to, let's say, energy production and the application, the adoption of those new approaches. But he sees a need for everyone to be involved in finding solutions to this whole set of problems, and he sees the need for it to be addressed in many ways at many levels. And one of his principles, which I think is very important, is that no action, no gesture, no attempt to address the issues is unimportant. Everything is important, no matter how small. There's nothing too small. I think sometimes ordinary people hear about how huge this whole complex of problems and issues is. They feel overwhelmed by it, and they say, well, I can't do anything, or what little I can do won't make any difference. So, you know, if I sort out my trash and recycle cans and plastics and paper and so on, that's not going to solve the problem. It's just too big. So my little bit, you know, whether I do it or not, is not going to make a difference. And he's saying, no, every effort, no matter how small, is important.
I have extremely strong feelings along those same lines, and I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. But I also recognize the feeling of powerlessness that people have, and that's extremely common. It's very common.
Right, and I know it is too, and I try to address that in my ministry, but. I think that we constantly have to guard against that. I think that Pope Francis has a sense that all of us working together and doing what we can in terms of those things you mentioned, our background, our experience, our gifts, our mm-hmm. talents, whatever, all of us doing our bit together can make a huge difference, and we can address these problems. And he also has infused this whole letter with a sense of hope. And I think part of that is, of course, because he has a sense that all of us, with the help of God, can do a lot too, that God will help us address these problems and whatever problems that we have. So it is a religious approach. It is a Christian approach. But it also is, the letter is also addressed very clearly to people who are not of Christian faith and who are of no faith. So people who are agnostic, people who are self-professed atheists and so on can profit from reading this letter and find much to agree with, probably agreeing with most of what's in the letter.
Okay. You were listening to Global Warming Corner on Radioactive Magazine. We are here talking with Father Robert Hagen of Guardian Angels Catholic Church on the Pope's encyclical Laudato Si. Well, he does call on transformation and at all levels, and that involves all the way from the international down to the personal and the household.
Right.
And so he is calling for a transformation of the way we do things.
Right.
You know, one thing that I know that he he does directly attack the economic idea of endless growth. You know, that he directly takes that on and confronts that. He also directly attacks, attacks the right word, but he's very critical of high consumerism.
That's right.
On the part of the developed countries.
Yes. He is not only in this letter, but in other statements he's made and in other documents, critical of the consumer culture that we are all, to some extent, caught up in today, and the idea that the economy can expand and expand without limits. And he has very strong economic views. Not everybody agrees with them, but certainly I think that one can agree that we have to, do whatever it takes in terms of cultural, social, economic, political, personal change, change in lifestyles, change in the way we live in even households and small communities, in cities, locally, that we need to make whatever changes we need to make in order to address these problems, because they are so urgent and they have to do with basically issues of life and death. These are a set of issues unlike other issues we've had in the past. We've had other issues, and we have other issues today that are huge. The issue of poverty around the globe, the issue of constant conflict, warfare, violence. We've seen that in the Middle East. We've seen it in Africa. We've seen it elsewhere in recent times. We've been painfully made aware of it by the events in Paris in recent days.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
But this is even bigger than that. And the problem with that is that you can go through your daily life and be totally unaware of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is
huge, and it's here.
It is.
And it's affecting real people right now. And it will do so more and more, and it'll affect all people eventually. Yeah.
Well, I think he does. I want to get back to the poor in a minute, but he has an extreme concern for the poor of the world, and I think I want to get back to just this one quote related to sort of this endless growth idea from his encyclical quote. This idea of endless economic growth. It is based on the lie that there is an infinite supply of the Earth's goods, and this leads to the planet being squeezed dry beyond every limit. So he's pointing to the fact that we cannot endlessly grow, and that there are limits to our planet, and that we are in the process of a great deal of destruction going on here. So I think
right. That speaks for itself.
Yeah.
It's very clear.
In relation to transformation, he does talk about basically a paradigm shift, and I'll do a quote here. There needs to be a distinctive way of looking at things, a way of thinking, policies, an educational program, a lifestyle and a spirituality which together generate resistance to the assault of the technological paradigm.
Right.
So
he's addressing there the limits of technology. Technological solutions are necessary. They're more than important, but they have limits, and there need to be other components to solutions to these problems.
Yeah.
Have to be.
Well, and he does address himself to technology, and he also addresses himself to the fact that technology needs to come under moral and value judgment. You know that technology is technology run amok is something that we have been allowing in a number of ways, and that that the human race needs to bring technology. Needs to bring technology to working toward the global common good,
right?
And fossil fuel corporations are definitely not in that category as of right now. So,
right.
Okay.
And I think an issue here too that has to be talked about briefly is many people think that all Christians have the same set of attitudes and beliefs with regard to various scientific questions, and that isn't the case. The church has moved on from almost five centuries ago, four centuries ago with the Galileo case, and the Vatican's Academy of Science is one of the most prestigious scientific organizations in the world. It has the best scientists from around the globe of all religions and no religion. Stephen Hawking is a member of that. And the Pope himself has studied and taught chemistry as a Jesuit. So he's not innocent or ignorant of science and the scientific approach, respects it, but sees its limits. That's right.
Well, yes, he does have a certain amount of scientific background, and he does. I know you mentioned when you and I talked, it's the Pontifical Academy of Science, right? Solid scientific advice, as well as all the other major scientific organizations in the world,
right.
Which comes to the same conclusions. You were listening to Global Warming Corner on Radioactive Magazine. We are here talking with Father Robert Hagen of Guardian Angels Catholic Church on the Pope's encyclical Laudato Si. Let's get to one of the fundamental themes in his encyclical is he talks about social justice, and he talks about the fact that societies need to be able to we all need to be able to care for each other, take care of each other, and that this has a reflection on how we care for the environment. He talks about how those two issues are closely linked. And would you like to expand on that?
Well, absolutely. Again, we get back to that principle that all things are connected. And so you can't just say that environmental issues are something that can be compartmentalized and kept apart from justice issues and then peace issues and other issues that you might come up with. Rather, all things are connected and all issues are connected. Certainly, our use of the goods of the earth and what we do with the earth itself and with our air, water, and soil in the present and for future generations has a tremendous justice dimension. It's not right for a few wealthy countries to consume, we might say, a hugely disproportionate share of the goods of the earth from year to year, while the rest of the world lives on so much less, such a smaller percentage. And then we're looking at justice in terms of future generations, justice toward the generations to come. There's an issue that's very much related to the climate talks that are going to take place in Paris starting at the end of the month. And that is financing what the less developed countries will need to do to face the effects of climate change, global warming. There are countries that are having parts of their territory wiped out. They're having to resettle people. There are whole island nations that are threatened, or in some cases,
so a great deal of drought in Africa.
Places that have disappeared. There are drought in many places, like Africa, expanding sort of drought zone and desert zone desertification. So, address what less developed countries need to do and to finance it is going to take huge contributions from the more developed countries them do it.
And the Pope focuses quite clearly on the obligation of the developed countries to provide this kind of assistance to the developing countries, which are really many of them are suffering the most direct effects of the global warming that the developed countries have pretty much created.
Exactly.
So he definitely talks about the assigning of responsibility, and that's part of the issue of social justice that he really brings that in.
Clearly.
And he also talks quite directly about the poor and how they're being quite affected by the world's poor being very much affected by climate change as things go on. We are going to kind of have to wrap this up. Father Hagen Father Hagen is going to be one of the community speakers at the Kansas City Climate Rally on November 29th at 4:30 at the All Souls Unitarian Church at 4501 Walnut. This rally will be part of hundreds around the globe calling on world leaders at the UN Paris Climate Summit to address our climate crisis. There will be a march beginning at Mill Creek Park at 3 p.m. for all those who wish to engage in a march. And for further information, go to kcclimate.org for details. Again, this is Dave Mitchell with Global Warming Corner. And Father Hagen, thank you very much for being on our show. We very much appreciate it.
Thank you, David. It was a privilege.
Okay, thank you.
You have been listening to Radioactive Magazine, a presentation of KKFI 90.1 FM in Kansas City. Radioactive Magazine provides a forum for activist groups and activists in the greater Kansas City area. Thank you for listening.